fantasy football today from CBS Sports.
Here we go.
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go.
We put the R&B in RBBC.
Let's go.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Continuing our running backs preview here on Fantasy Football Today. This is part two. Please listen to part one from Wednesday. It is Thursday, August 11th. Welcome back. Guess what? I checked the paint on every field. We're good to go. We got football tonight. Yeah.
I'm excited, man.
I am pumped. Yeah, I'm excited too.
Preseason is the thing that I can't wait for, and in 2 weeks, I can't wait for it to be gone.
Yeah, I feel like we're all in that boat.
Like tomorrow. After that third week of preseason games, when you're watching all the backups in the fourth quarter, questioning the choices you made in life, knowing that there's another week of nonstop backups.
Does anybody, aside from our professional leagues, has anybody scheduled any personal leagues before the preseason is over yet?
When does the preseason officially end?
The weekend of the 28th. The third preseason.
My first private draft is the 31st. That's the keeper league.
That's your first one?
Yeah.
No, I have one the 27th.
I have one the 23rd, but it's in person, so I don't care.
Right.
Yeah, I got the flex draft on Saturday, and other than that, I got one on the 29th
or
so.
But that's professional. Yeah. I think, you know, it's just how we learned our lesson from the Jordy Nelson, Kelvin Benjamin injury last year.
Totally. Totally. You definitely want to wait. And you want to wait until we're done with our position previews, which will be next week. We'll do wide receivers parts one and two next week, probably Tuesday and Wednesday. All right, I'm going to kick it off. We're going to do a complete average draft position review. We also have some news and notes to get to on Ladarius Green and Jimmy Graham. And the Giants running back situation and Adrian Peterson. But I want to kick it off with something. I feel like I'm going to say something here that's going to be misinterpreted, but I'm going to be honest. When I look at running backs, I feel like almost every single player I see uncertainty with. Like, I can think of reasons to like the player and reasons to be afraid, reasons to get excited, reasons to worry, except for one. And I think the safest running back in fantasy this year is Lamar Miller. What do you guys think?
That's interesting.
It is interesting.
That's a heck of a buildup for that name.
Yeah.
Is it just because he hasn't had a major injury and he's shown some good numbers and he's a great fit in the offense? I mean, I think I know where you're coming from.
Okay. He's still in his prime. He has not had a major injury. He can catch passes. He's in an offense that runs the ball a ton. He doesn't have major competition in the backfield. They just paid him. They want to give him a lot of work, obviously. He just doesn't have the same concerns that everybody else has. I'm not saying he's my number one running back. I think he's the safest running back in fantasy this year.
Well, it's funny because I wrote a dilemma that it wouldn't shock me if he's the best running back in fantasy and that he warrants a first round pick. The thing though that, and I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, we don't have a good track record of guys that switch teams.
That was exactly what I was thinking, yes.
And that's the thing. Like, it's usually older guys, when they get paid, they go somewhere else. You know, DeMarco
Murray,
Matt Forte, LaDainian Tomlinson, Chris Johnson. I mean, think about the guys, whether they're cut or they leave for a bigger deal somewhere else. Is there somebody off the top of your head that you could think of who's gone to another place in his prime and done better than where he was previously at that position?
Yes.
Like Curtis Martin comes to mind, but that's like, you know, a billion years ago, most people playing.
Yeah, I've got another one from that era, Ricky Williams, going from New Orleans to Miami. I think he did a lot better.
Well, obviously, Michael Turner.
Clinton Portis was traded. That wasn't necessarily
a
thing. But I mean, he was good. I don't know if he was ever as amazing as he was in Denver. Marshall Faulk, yeah.
Eric Dickerson.
Priest Holmes.
How about LeSean McCoy? I mean, he was traded, but he did fine, and
Okay. Yeah, but he declined.
Yeah.
He
was a top 15 running back.
He played 12 games last year, but
right, that's why.
He had an interesting year.
I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I don't know that it's necessarily wrong. I definitely agree that there's question marks surrounding all running backs. There's question marks surrounding Lamar Miller too. I mean, it's a guy that's had 200 carries once in his career. He's had 1,000 yards once in his career.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going to a new team that could be not very good offensively.
The funny, like, going back to our conversation yesterday with the first edition of the running back previews and, like, calling Latavius Murray a breakout, even though he was the 10th best running back.
Right.
I think Lamar Miller is in a similar category because his best year, he may not, like, if all these running backs hit, Gurley hits, Peterson hits, Charles hits, Miller may not be better than where he was last year, but he may have better numbers.
Right.
So I think he still has that small window of breakout. Like Latavius has that small window of breakout, you know, can improve, but may not have a better finish. So I think you're on the right path with that, Adam. But like when I wrote the story, one of our editors here, George Maselli, who's a fantasy player, he's in all of our mock drafts. And ironically enough, he drafted Lamar Miller in the two quarterback league we did. He said, you know, he's like, my hesitation with Lamar Miller, I'm speaking for George, is the Dolphins didn't give him a full workload for whatever reason. They never seemed to trust him. I know we touched on this yesterday. The Hurricanes never gave him a full workload. And you can attest to this more than I can because I didn't watch all those games. But it didn't seem as if like the teams that he's been with or the coaching staffs that he's been under. And remember, with Miami, he's been under three coaches now, right? Or four. Philbin drafted him?
I thought so.
I think Philbin drafted him.
So but, that's one.
And Campbell. Dan Campbell didn't give him a full workload. Oh, yeah.
No, Philbin tried there to. 4 years, wasn't he?
He did for a little bit.
Huh?
Maybe he was. It doesn't matter.
But in any event, that could be the one thing holding him back is that if they do push him from that 230 touch, you know, range to closer to 300, does he break down?
Well, it's possible, but they paid him a lot of money. I don't think they paid him to be a part-time guy.
No, I think they're going to give him those touches.
Right. I think they're going to give him those opportunities.
He's never proven that he can handle it.
Right. That's
well,
the
we don't
worry.
Know.
Right. He hasn't proven he can't handle
but
it.
But that
right.
worry compared to the worry for every other running back, you're right, Adam. It's pretty darn good. I mean, I think the next closest one would be Gurley. But the worry on him is, well, he got hurt once upon a time, and his offense isn't that great. The passing offense with him isn't that good.
I would say
but
Zeke,
that's not a
Zeke
big
also.
Worry. Yeah, but Zeke's already banged up. But Gurley's healthy.
And he's a rookie.
And right,
no,
we've never
I mean,
seen
look,
him
they're,
do it.
They're flawed.
I agree that like his flaws are minor. And that you look at wide receivers, just to make the point, then we'll move on. There are very few receivers I think you can look at and say, all right, no flaws. They're awesome.
Very few, but there are some.
There's more than one.
Three to
there's
five.
More than,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. So wanted to start with that. We got to talk about a lot more than just the top guys. There are some stats I want to give out though. You guys tell me what you think of it. LeSean McCoy. We're just talking about him. Only 3 rushing touchdowns in 12 games, and 2 of them were long-range touchdowns, 48 yards and 27 yards. LeSean McCoy in 12 games got 4 carries inside the 5-yard line. I went back, I looked at every single rushing touchdown in the 12 games he played. Buffalo had 6 of them from 10 yards or closer. McCoy had 1. Dixon had 1. Carlos Williams had 1. Taylor had 2. EJ Manuel had 1. The fact that McCoy did not get short yardage touchdowns last year, does that mean anything to you going into this year?
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's interesting. This may be slightly concerning, but it's not something that I'm like moving him down because of.
Right. Like who gets those touchdowns now? Well, Tyrod Taylor is certainly a candidate to do it, but Booby Dixon isn't on the team. They won't have Carlos Williams for the first 4 games of the year. They signed Reggie Bush, but they talked about him as a special teams contributor first and a running back contributor second.
Right. Jonathan Williams, maybe.
Maybe.
I think the thing, look, McCoy was, and stop me if I'm speaking incorrectly, but I think all of us had the same perception of McCoy. Carlos Williams was going to play a role. He was going to hurt McCoy. We saw last year Carlos Williams was very explosive. McCoy mm-hmm. another year older. And then the Carlos Williams saga happened. Fat, suspended, now not there. Do the other guys that Dave just mentioned scare you at all to take LeSean McCoy off the field if you're Rex Ryan?
If LeSean doesn't play well in the first 4 games and Carlos Williams is back in shape, I'm a little nervous.
Well,
I still want to have both.
But again, you're drafting now, not worried about week 5. You're drafting with McCoy as the assumption that when he was getting all the work last year, he had a very good stretch. It may not have been a touchdown dependent stretch, but he had a good stretch. A good enough stretch that if he had that work for 16 games, he would have been a top 10 guy.
Yeah, I'll tell you that stretch. Week 6 to 13, at least 16 carries in every game, double digit fantasy points in standard leagues in all but one game. 3 games with exactly 112 yards rushing and 4.8 yards per carry with 3 touchdowns. He was unstoppable, must start every single week.
Right.
Absolutely.
And that's what you're hoping for. It's a good offensive line. The thing that makes me a little bit nervous about them, you know, they're a team that wants to be ball control dominant and, you know, try and wear you down. And now they lose Ragland. They don't have Shaq Lawson. This was a defense that struggled a little bit last year. I don't know if they'll be able to play that way, or at least they're going to try, but we'll see. And it's hard to do when, you know, if the Jets offense is still playing well, if the Patriots offense is playing well, the Dolphins offense improves, and then you look at the rest of their schedule. So it could be interesting for them, but I think McCoy is still a very safe back end number one running back, or certainly a high end number two.
It's funny. I've gone through our rankings, and at least through the top 30 running backs that we have ranked, LeSean McCoy is the only one that we all have ranked in exactly the same place. And I think 12. There's a lot of different possible outcomes with LeSean McCoy, but nobody really wants to make a stand on he's going to be a definite running back one, or he's going to be down in the running back two. He's just one of those borderline running back one guys that has the talent, but certainly concerns.
If you hate Freeman, Martin, Rawls, Anderson, Murray,
Lacy,
Lacy, Charles, I mean, he's just safe. And if you go receiver, receiver, if you start Antonio Brown, come back round two, receiver, he is right there at the beginning of the third round. He is the perfect guy to go receiver, receiver, McCoy, and he will be fine for you.
This is his last good year.
Yep.
He's got over 2,000 career touches at 28 years of age. Oh, I don't 100%. Know what his contract situation is like, but look at all the other running backs that they have in Buffalo. They could move on from LeSean McCoy after 2016.
Would you rather have Ingram there at that turn or LeSean McCoy?
I'd rather have Ingram.
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 Yeah. Okay, one more stat here. Ryan Matthews, probably a little polarizing on this podcast. We got into him a little bit yesterday. Similar to Devontae Freeman, 9 games before his concussion last year, Matthews averaged 5.7 yards per carry. 4 games after his concussion, 3.5 yards per carry. But I looked at the 4 games in which Matthews had double-digit carries last year. He averaged 4.5, 6.1, 2.9, and 5.3 yards per carry. And those 3 good games in those four games with double-digit carries came at the Jets, at the Cowboys, who had a solid run defense.
I've got to stop you on something that just happened here that we have to talk about.
Oh, gosh, what happened?
We're sitting in our room, and all of a sudden...
Is that the same shirt? Is that
the
coffee
same,
shirt?
It is. I'm wearing the exact same shirt where I spilled on myself. And all of a sudden, I see something like fall from the sky, and it lands on my shirt, and I look down, and it's a damn spider.
Oh,
and I smashed it against my shirt.
He killed a bug on his belly.
I smacked my belly, and now I've got some bug guts on my shirt.
Oh, gosh.
It was a really small spider, but it was the most messed up thing ever.
I would have made a really awkward, like, squealy sound if that had happened to me, so I'm glad he didn't do that. Well, I'll sum up Ryan Matthews by saying, when he got work, he was pretty good. He did well at the Jets, at Dallas, home against Arizona. He had a long run of 20 yards or more in all 3 of those games. Is anybody excited about Ryan Matthews? I know there's some injury concerns, obviously, but there's also an opportunity. What are you thinking?
I was before the training camp started.
And I don't even know why that really would cause us to downgrade him, because we knew it was going to happen. Ryan Matthews is perpetually injured.
Yeah.
And he will have, I would feel very confident, he's going to have 5 to 8 top 10 weeks.
Oh, I'm not confident in that.
And he's going to have probably 4 to 6 games where he either doesn't play or sucks.
All right.
Everything about Philadelphia scares me. I hate their schedule is unfair. They play 3 teams in a row coming off of a bye. They've got some difficult opponents on top of it.
They play what in a row?
3 opponents in a row coming off of a bye.
Oh, those teams are coming off of a bye. Okay.
Right. The other teams are coming off of a bye. I'll tell you exactly when it is.
That's okay.
It's Minnesota at Dallas and at the Giants, weeks 7 through 9. They have an early season bye, not a great schedule for them. And I think he's going to be miserable. I think they'll almost all be miserable.
Yeah, you do not like the Eagles. Okay, so
I like them week 1 in daily fantasy against Cleveland.
Against Cleveland. Now, if you're in Philadelphia and you're hating us right now, we have an opportunity for you. If you want to join a Philadelphia-specific podcast listeners league, please, here's what you got to do. Check my timeline on Twitter. I've been tweeting a lot lately, so just go back a little bit for the past few days. I've had people say, hey, I want to start a regional league here, and I've retweeted it, and you can join the league. Go to my Twitter timeline, at Adam Azer, A-I-Z-E-R. So far, we've had, among others, Michigan, Dallas, Los Angeles, Iowa, Philadelphia, Europe, and a few others. So
Didn't we have one in Connecticut?
Yeah, yep, Connecticut. A lot of people want to do this. I don't remember all of them. That's why I check my timeline. You can see the Twitter handle that you need to tweet to, and you guys can hook up and hopefully create some podcast leagues on your own. Now, I hope you've played fantasy on CBSSports.com. I really believe in our leagues. I know I'm biased, but I think they're the best out there. I really do. Highly customizable, including points by position, multiple matchups per week. We're doing that in a baseball league that we have right now. Our commissioner leagues are built for serious players like all of you out there with more scoring options, deeper player data than what you can get on ESPN and Yahoo. So experience the difference today. Create a commissioner league now at cbssports.com/fantasyfootball. cbssports.com/fantasyfootball. Before we do ADP, Jimmy Graham returned to practice after recovering from his torn patellar tendon. Pete Carroll said he hopes, he's thinking that Jimmy Graham is on track for week one. This doesn't change anything for you guys, right?
Not at all.
I want to see Jimmy Graham running at full speed.
He said he had to learn how to walk again.
Yeah.
Really? I will say this, though. I think I probably was the most down on Jimmy Graham. I don't know about rankings, but when he got hurt, you know, I said I'll never draft him again. If you are inclined to take two tight ends in a deeper draft, this is the perfect guy to take a shot on. You know, if you're satisfied with your number one guy, whoever it may be, because if he does come back to any semblance of the player that he was, I don't want to say with Seattle, but clearly the player that he was with New Orleans, you're going to be thrilled with that.
At what point do we get more worried about the health of Ladarius Green than Jimmy Graham?
Oh, I got to move Ladarius Green down. It's silly to have him ranked in the top five at this point.
Yeah, that was the other news item. Mike Tomlin didn't want to comment on when Ladarius Green would be back.
So, yeah, neither would Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, that's it. Ben Roethlisberger was asked about him, and all he did was shrug his shoulders.
Right.
That's not great.
Something's up.
Well,
we're all in different Scott Fishbowl leagues, correct?
Yes.
Jesse James, if he's available.
You take it easy there. Not all of us.
Adam, you want to share my team?
No, I don't.
You can set the lineup each week.
No, that's okay.
Damn.
Anyway, some running back news. People are wondering, are you worried about Adrian Peterson in the shotgun offense?
Do you really think that they're going to change their offense all the way around for Teddy Bridgewater and alienate this star running back that's been a big part of their
How many playoff games have they won with Adrian Peterson?
That's a good point. But I don't think this is the time to do it. Unless Adrian Peterson has lost a step.
Yeah.
You still have to cater to him. And yes, he has played poorly out of shotgun, but he can still catch the ball.
Long term, I would be really interested to see Teddy Bridgewater if he gets to run an offense that's customized to him.
You'll see it.
He was good as a rookie, but it's not going to be this year. Look, we all bought in last year. I don't remember because I don't know. Yeah. We didn't see Heath's rankings, but I mean, Dave, we had him ranked high.
Yeah.
Bridgewater coming off that year. Yeah.
He was a good sleeper. He was a good number two fantasy quarterback last year. That's what we looked at. And then it was just a combination of him stinking and his receivers stinking.
He couldn't get going.
He had a year without Peterson, and he played well and looked like he's going to take, you know, next step. Derek Carr, Blake Bortles, those guys. Yeah, and he looked like he was going to
He looked like he belonged in that group.
And then he had to hand off a lot. and his receivers stunk.
And their stadium is going to be indoors now. That should help him, right?
I mean, if you buy into the way he played as a rookie, sure.
I think there shouldn't be any rain or spiders. All right, and Andre Williams is the number two running back for the Giants right now, according to Jordan Renan of ESPN, an ESPN Giants reporter. So let's talk about ADP, and if you still want to take Paul Perkins late in your drafts, we talked the first round yesterday, we covered, and a lot about Le'Veon Bell and D'Angelo Williams. So let's pick it up from there. It's Gurley, Peterson, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott, and Le'Veon Bell going in the first round. Lamar Miller is 13th overall, so at the very end of the first round, at the beginning of the second round. And then a guy that you probably are going to think is too high, Devontae Freeman is the 7th running back off the board on Fantasy Pros right now. He is going 14th overall, and right after him is Jamaal Charles. So in the second round, Lamar Miller, Devontae Freeman, Jamaal Charles. Heath, why don't you give your reaction to that?
I don't know if Devontae Freeman's too high, but you're too high if you're drafting Devontae Freeman over Jamaal Charles. I put a poll on Twitter today asking if Jamaal Charles and David Johnson both play 16 games, who scores more fantasy points? And it was about 60-40 Charles, because the main concern is Charles isn't going to play 16 games. My main concern with Freeman is that Freeman's not going to be the bell cow that he was for 16 games. I'm not sure he's going to be the bell cow that he was for 4 games.
And even if he is that bell cow, can he come up with 150 total yards and a touchdown every week?
No.
Or multiple touchdowns like he did.
We don't need 150 yards and a touchdown. I mean,
No, but listen, if you're taking him as the 7th best running back on the board, I think that's going to be the type of ceiling you envision, is a guy who can get you, you know, 10 fantasy points a week for a guy that you're taking that spot, that's okay. But I think you want 15 plus, and in this case, 150 and a touchdown is over 20. I mean, there were weeks where he was scoring 3 touchdowns.
Wait, 15 plus? Because that's number one running back in fantasy.
We're talking about drafting him as the seventh running back off the board.
Yeah, I don't think you're looking for 15 plus if you take him as the seventh running back. All right.
You're absolutely looking for 15
plus. You're not looking for him to be the number one running back in fantasy. That's an amazing season, 15
We're
plus.
Talking about him as a number one fantasy running
back. Okay, that is different. Now, what is your overall thought? I know Heath has been pretty down on Devontae Freeman. I understand that he really struggled after the concussion. Faced some pretty good defenses there. That stat I gave yesterday kind of stood out to me, though. 47 red zone rushing attempts, most in football for Freeman. He had the fourth most inside the 5-yard line, or the fifth most, whatever it was. He's just very involved, and he catches passes, so I don't know. I kind of feel like we downgraded him a little bit too much. What do you guys think?
I will say one thing real quick about the 15 per game. I think that's pretty close to being right every year except for last year. It was the number one fantasy running back last year, but 15 points per game was never the number one fantasy running back before last year. So I don't know that we've talked about how last year was kind of the outlier.
The point is that if you draft Devontae Freeman with the hope that he gets you 10 a week, you shouldn't be drafting Devontae Freeman in the first two rounds.
Right.
Okay.
I'm looking for a running back that can be a difference maker for my team.
Well, what do you expect from Devontae Freeman?
10 a week.
I think that's really a fair expectation for him. I think he will have some weeks where he gets up there. All of our offseason talk about Tevin Coleman could be a ghost. I haven't heard a lot of great things about Tevin Coleman in camp. Not that I've heard a lot of great things about Devontae Freeman, but he seems to be healthier, and he's definitely going to be there in passing situations. I think he's going to be there near the goal line too. I think he's going to be the Falcons' top back. I think he's going to have the opportunity to get a lot of touches. It doesn't mean that I love him. At one point, I wanted nothing to do with him. Now, when I'm picking number one overall, and it gets back to me at the end of round two, and he's there, I'm taking him.
Okay. So would you guys rather have Freeman or McCoy first in standard, then in, well, I'm going to ask you three formats, standard, half point, and full point PPR?
Any PPR, I'd rather have Freeman. Standard,
yes.
I'd rather have McCoy.
I'll still take Freeman.
I'm going to take Freeman in all three formats, but they're very, very close in standard.
And this is a guy
I just know what Dan Quinn said to me, which was they want to have more balance with their running backs.
Right, but if Tevin Coleman stinks.
But Tevin Coleman didn't stink when he had the opportunity to start ahead of Devontae Freeman until he broke his rib.
And Devontae Freeman stunk for half of a season.
Would you say, yeah, that's the other thing, is that he's got a little bit of an injury-prone
tag on him, Freeman
too.
Is the lead back. I don't think anybody can argue that based on what he did last year. He's the better receiving back. I don't think you could argue that. But if he loses the opportunity, all of his great games when he got those monster performances, it was over 20 carries. I don't see him having many games over 20 carries if Tevin Coleman's healthy.
And I think the stat that you bring up, Adam, about how many carries he got inside the five, inside the red zone, I'm not saying that Matt Ryan's going to come out and throw 35 touchdown passes this year, but I do think he's going to throw more touchdown passes than he did. If they throw more touchdowns and score the same amount of touchdowns, they're going to run for less.
They've got to work on that. They have to be working on that all camp long, and I'm sure they're going to want to try and flash that. They've got a tight end now that they like in Austin Hooper. Mohamed Sanu is somebody that can work inside the 10 and inside the 5. So they seem to have better options there than they did last year.
Okay. After Freeman, we have Eddie Lacy. He is going 21st overall, the 10th. I missed Doug Martin. Actually, after Freeman, we have Jamal Charles. We talked a lot about him yesterday. Then Doug Martin, then Eddie Lacy, then Mark Ingram. So Martin, Lacy, Ingram, how would you guys rank those three?
Martin, Ingram, Lacy.
Lacy, Martin, Ingram.
Lacy, Ingram, Martin.
Wow. This is a tough group here, guys. Again, you can see different outcomes. Ingram gets hurt all the time, but he's pretty productive when he's healthy. Lacy finished as the number six running back 2 years in a row, and then he was overweight. Is that just an easy explanation? He's in shape now. He should be a top six-ish running back?
Yep. I think that's where you start with it, and then you tack on what we've mentioned ever since the NFL schedule came out. Packers got handed a gift. Their schedule is great. There's very few matchups that look dangerous for Eddie Lacy, and I think he's going to have a lot of opportunities. You want to talk about 20 touches per game? He's going to have more games with 20 touches per than Devontae Freeman will have this year.
Who's afraid of the big bad Doug Martin?
Not I.
A little bit.
What's the draft average? What's
draft
the ADP?
Average, he is the 19th. Ninth running back, 19th overall.
I don't have a problem with that. I'm okay with that. You think it's too soon?
Yeah. There's a handful of receivers I'd rather have at that spot.
Like who?
Evans, Marshall, Keenan Allen. Amari Cooper, T.Y. Hilton, Sammy Watkins.
So let me talk to Heath here. Hey, Heath.
Hey, I'm here.
All right. You are the Doug Martin guy.
Yeah.
What is it that you like about Martin compared to, say, someone like Jeremy Hill, who, you know, has had one great year, one bad year? Martin's had two great years, two bad years. Tell me the difference there for you.
I think that Doug Martin's upside is higher than Jeremy Hill's is. The other thing is, we talked about this a lot yesterday. I really like the fact that when Dirk Koetter took that job, he's the one that went to bat for Doug Martin. Now he's the head coach. I have very little doubt that Doug Martin's going to get a majority of the work running the ball. And it's not like I know Charles Sims is going to catch a lot of passes, and I like Sims as a third running back. But it's not like Martin's not going to catch any passes at all. I think he still caught 30 passes last year, and he's shown the ability in his rookie year to catch a bunch of passes. He's a good pass-catching back. So I don't see any concerns about how much work he's going to get. I think Vincent Jackson coming back and Jameis Winston developing is going to make the passing game better, which might give him a little bit more room. And he was just flat-out outstanding last year.
Do you think he can get to 1,600 total yards again? Because I agree with you. I think he could get more than 7 total touchdowns.
Yes.
Maybe only like one or two more.
Right.
But I don't think you can count him out for 8 or 9 touchdowns on the season. The total yardage is what kind of bothers me, because he averaged 4.9 yards per rush over 288 carries.
And he had the most 20-plus yard carries in the league last year, which was very impressive, 14 of them.
I think he might be able to get away with that again if Tampa Bay lets him, if they're in a situation to do that.
I mean, I understand the fear about his bad years. And I think you'd have to say he's a little bit injury prone because he got hurt 2 years in a row. But we were just talking about, there's no such thing as a safe running back. I think that the history, if you look at it, for guys that go over 1,600 yards twice in their first 4 years in the league, it's pretty rare that they turn out not good.
Right. Here's a point I'll make on Doug. If you're nervous about drafting him, don't be nervous about trading for him, because the season schedule for Tampa Bay is difficult before their bye. It's at Atlanta, which is easy, at Arizona, LA at home, Denver at home, at Carolina, then the bye. After that bye, it's beautiful.
I know, yeah, but that's,
there's a couple of toughies in there, of course, but it's good.
But it concerns me, Dave, because what if he struggles going into the bye and they say, let's get Charles Sims more involved?
If you've already got Sims on your team, you can make an effort to get Doug Martin, and you won't have to give up a ton for him.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to, I would expect him to have a very good game against Atlanta.
Sure.
Arizona is the one that really scares me, because Arizona could just blow their doors off and it's Charles Sims the whole second half because they're doing nothing but throwing the ball. But even Denver and St. Louis, I don't see.
And Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. Both of those are good defenses, but I don't see either one of those offenses building a big lead to where Tampa Bay just stops running the ball. I think he'll still get enough carries where he has a decent game, even if it's not great.
Okay.
You'll still roll him out there and start him. But that it's a 3-game stretch where I feel like there's concern for Doug Martin to not deliver, and then you might get soured on him.
Right.
If you draft him, you have to be patient. If you don't draft him, you target him if he does go sour in those 3 games.
And yeah, as Jamie mentioned, I think in that draft range, it's when you're starting to look at some receivers that are pretty tempting. You know, you're going to be talking about, do I take Mike Evans or Amari Cooper or Brandon Cooks or Keenan Allen over these running backs that I have some questions on? And I have been tending to go with the wide receivers there. I would like for those guys, those running backs, to fall a little bit further than they do.
See, I just feel like I can come much closer in round 3 to finding a wide receiver like Amari Cooper than I can a running back like Doug Martin.
That's the thing. Because if you're picking Doug Martin at 19th overall, you should be able to find a receiver in round 3 that you'll be okay.
But I make the same argument, though, because I feel Thomas Rawls has the same potential as Doug Martin this year. I think C.J. Anderson has the same potential as Doug Martin this year.
Okay.
I think Latavius Murray has the same potential as Doug Martin this year. I see all three of those guys in the same category as Martin. And, you know, I'm just looking at his game log last year. He only had 4 games over 100 yards rushing. One of them was the monster game against Philadelphia where he had 235 yards rushing.
How about how many games with 100 total yards? Does that make it any better?
Well, no, because he had only 4 games with more than 2 catches.
Well, this is one that concerned me for Martin. 10 games with less than 20 carries. He had 4 of those 10 with double-digit fantasy points in standard leagues, and only 2 touchdowns. So it just seemed like a guy who needed a big workload to get going and be really good.
And you look at the games that he had big games against. He had 100 yard and a touchdown against Carolina, which is, you know, impressive, obviously. 123 yards on 24 carries against Jacksonville with two touchdowns. That's one you expect him to play well in. Washington's run defense was okay last year, 19 for 136. And then he blew the doors off of Philly, 27 for 235.
Yeah. I think that's what it is, right? You're talking end of round two into round three. You're looking at different tiers of running backs. You're looking at this Lacy, Ingram, Doug Martin tier. And then after that, you're looking at this C.J. Anderson, Thomas Rawls, Latavius Murray group. And you have to decide if you think that second group of running backs is as good as that first group of running backs, at least in terms of potential. It seems like Jamie and I kind of say yes. I actually like Lacy better. I think you guys do too. Not Heath, though. Heath and Dave seem to like Doug Martin more than those other guys. And then you have to compare them to the wide receivers. You've got Alshon Jeffrey and Mike Evans and Brandon Marshall going late in the second round. If you want to wait until the middle of the third round on a wide receiver, you can still get Demaryius Thomas or T.Y. Hilton or Kelvin Benjamin. So you have to decide if you think those guys are good enough. Where's the fall off? Where's the drop off at wide receiver? Where's the drop off at running back? That's why you should make tiers when you draft. Now let's go to that next tier of running back. It's LeSean McCoy, 12th overall in ADP, which is exactly where you guys have him, so that makes sense. Thomas Rawls, C.J. Anderson are next, and then most overdrafted player in fantasy, perhaps, Matt Forte, 15th running back off the board, 36th overall. Fair enough with Forte?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Universal agreement.
All right. Rawls and Anderson, Jamie likes them in round three. Dave, Heath, how do you feel?
I'm getting on board with Rawls towards the end of round three. I would prefer to get Anderson in round four.
I like Rawls at the end of round three and Anderson a little bit ahead of him.
You like Anderson better?
I do like Anderson better than Rawls.
Okay, so that takes us through round three. Round four, Carlos Hyde, Latavius Murray, DeMarco Murray, and Jeremy Hill. Carlos Hyde, the Murrays, and Jeremy Hill. We talked about Chip Kelly's offense being good for running backs. So he's run the ball a lot in three seasons in Philadelphia. The yards per carry have gone down every year. Maybe that was because they stayed with DeMarco Murray too long and could have gone to Ryan Matthews instead. So that's the bad thing. The good thing is in the first 2 years, Chip Kelly gave LeSean McCoy over 300 carries in 2013-2014. So Hyde is a guy Jamie pegged as a breakout. You also have Latavius Murray, who you guys like as a breakout, and then DeMarco and Jeremy Hill. Overall thoughts on the round four guys?
Murray stands out to me.
Latavius.
I think he's a round three guy. Latavius Murray. Yes.
Yeah, that's a steal in this group of running backs, in my opinion.
I agree.
I just worry if he's going to be able to handle heavy workload again, because that seemed to wear on him a little bit last year. You look at the way he performed in the beginning of the season compared to the end of the season, and I just hope that he can get through 16 games of being that guy. And if they'll give him the opportunity to be 16 games of, you know, 200 plus carries and 40 plus catches, I don't see that happening again. I think he'll be more efficient in his carries, which will help him for sure. But I think the addition of DeAndre Washington will take away a little bit of work. So I think he's going to be closer to 30 catches, and I think his running stats will be better. So he's very safe in the beginning of round four. If you want to take him to the end of round three, sure.
I feel like he'll have more opportunities. I could see the Raiders actually closing out games this year instead of passing from behind.
Yeah, I just hope
I don't think there'll be a ton of them, but I think there's going to be, like last year, how many times were they killing the clock?
Sure, no,
in the
I just
quarter?
I just hope it's him. Look, the offensive line is amazing. He's got a great opportunity, but
right.
I just worry a little bit that they, you know, you heard everything Jack Del Rio said, and when I talked about the owners' meetings, you know, at that time of the owners' meetings, it was the reports coming out of Oakland. They have to upgrade their running game.
Just through the offensive line.
Well, and I asked Del Rio this. I said, "Are you looking to replace Murray or compliment him?" And he said, "Oh, clearly compliment him." But what does that mean? Does that mean compliment him if he's hurt, compliment him if he stinks, or compliment him just to make him better? And I think if you're making him better, which was probably what they did, is taking him off the field a little bit. And so you want him to be more efficient through whatever course of the game, three quarters, whether it's two through four,
I think that's right,
one through three, one, three, four, you know, however they do it to make him better. I just think that I don't see a dramatic leap for him. So 10 through 15, depending on where you look at your running backs, I think that's a safe spot for him. So again, back end round three, being around four, I think it's fine.
Listen, I got to tell you guys, as we take a quick detour from running backs, I got my shaving set from Harry's last week. Who's with me? Get on harrys.com. You need to try this, people. It's a great deal and a great product. Harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com. the offer code when you get the Truman set, FFT, as in Fantasy Football Today. So what is Harry's? It's an affordable way to get a great shave. Stop spending so much on low-quality blades. What a ripoff. Harry's gives you high-quality razors, ships them directly to your door for half the price of the leading brand. It's a good shave, a good price. Get them both with Harry's. And I've been using Harry's for about a week now. And honestly, I was actually off the air telling them yesterday, Dave, Jamie, and Heath, best shaves I've ever gotten. I see parts of my face that I never even knew I had before.
We made you put your face right up against the camera so we could see. And I got to tell you, it still looked like you had a little bit of stubble, but you're not a normal guy.
No, I get a 5 o'clock
you're
shadow.
You're like a werewolf.
Yeah, I get a 5 o'clock shadow the second I'm done shaving.
Yeah, but, you and Homer Simpson.
Yeah, but exactly, but not anymore. I really love Harry's. I'm glad I tried it, and I think you all will be as well. And we have this offer for you on harrys.com if you get the Truman set. $15, you get a razor handle, moisturizing shave cream, three of Harry's five-blade German-engineered razors, and a special offer for fans of the show. Harry's will give you $5 off your first purchase with the promo code FFT, as in Fantasy Football Today. So go to Harry's right now, look for the Truman set, HARRYS.com, enter FFT at checkout, get $5 off, and show your support for Fantasy Football Today. So stop compromising, give Harry's a try. Latavius Murray, I just want to finish by saying I owned him in the podcast league last year. I'm sure you guys owned him in some leagues. For whatever reason, he just felt like one of those guys that was disappointing for a fantasy owner. No matter what the number, the overall numbers said, and they weren't even that impressive. He was the number 10 running back with the fourth most touches. He just disappointed. I think the fumbles had a lot to do with it. I don't get it. I don't get what everybody sees in Latavius Murray. What has he proven that makes him a breakout?
It's just the improvements around him meshed with the fact that the Raiders didn't go out and get a bigger name or a... Like, imagine if they had drafted Derrick Henry instead of Tennessee.
That'd be different.
Well, now we'd be talking about, oh, it's going to be a timeshare and it could get messy and eventually Henry is going to take over. Well, now we're not as interested in Latavius Murray. But somebody in Oakland, probably the GM along with the head coach, believes that he can still be their lead back. And that, along with the combination of everything else they've done and the expectation that that offense takes off, I think he's a pretty decent bet to return to the top 12 in fantasy this year. And he should be able to do it with a better fantasy point per game average. It was 9.2 last year. That's disappointing. And with more games with 10 or more fantasy points. He only had 6 last year. Yeah. He was not consistent.
Right, right.
Okay. I think he'll be more consistent and efficient.
Yeah, the case for safety makes a lot of sense there, just with all the opportunity.
Absolutely.
Now you talk about a Murray and you talk about Derrick Henry. What is it that you guys don't like about DeMarco Murray? Because I have a feeling, correct me if I'm wrong, that you think middle of the fourth round is a little too early for DeMarco Murray.
I think it's about right, but it's just one of those draft picks. We talked about this a little bit too. It's one of those draft picks where you take and you say, oh, nobody's taken DeMarco Murray yet. I need a running back. I guess I'll take DeMarco Murray.
I'm a little more excited than that.
I mean,
I really am.
Oh, maybe okay. We're expressing it differently. We haven't ranked in the same
I'm
place.
I'm not.
Jamie's not. But
Jamie sees Murray as history. He's done. I think that the issue with Derrick Henry is whether or not he can stay on the field. Because the way he runs, it's just violent. It's going to hurt a lot of people, including himself.
And he's gotten hurt a lot in his career so far?
Yeah.
Kyle's career?
He's got some issues.
He does?
I think so.
Okay.
All right. And just the way that he runs, it's just upright.
Oh, sure. There's definitely.
Listen, I said the same thing about Ingram.
Well, probably Latavius Murray, too.
At one point.
Sure.
And listen, I think what Tennessee wants to do and what they'll end up doing aren't necessarily the same things, but if they're eventually chasing points in games, which is what I think is going to happen, I think that's a better suited opportunity for Murray.
Oh, I don't know. They've been talking about Dexter McCluster a lot.
I've seen Dexter McCluster.
I mean, look,
Come on, he's Dexter McCluster.
I'm not saying he's good, but if he's taking Murray off the field, which is what they're indicating, then that's taking away from DeMarco Murray.
Yeah. So I've got Murray, Hill, and Hyde back to back to back in my rankings. And I think about it a lot, about moving Hyde up. I think about moving Hill up, moving Murray down. They're all the same to me. I think the touchdowns are going to end up favoring Murray.
No way.
I think so.
Not with Henry there?
That's all Henry does, score touchdowns. Well, that might be what he ends up doing. And it's drafting Murray with the caveat that you go back and you get Derrick Henry. The thing that I love about Derrick Henry, and I'm going to end up talking more about Henry than I am Murray here, is that he's got the size that's different. And as long as he's healthy and playing, I'm always interested in unique sized players. The Gronks, the Kelvin Benjamins, those types
of guys.
The Danny
Woodheads.
The Danny Woodheads, exactly. Cause they're just, it's that unique, it's a unique quality that kind of sets them apart a little bit and gives them maybe a little extra leash or whatnot. I like the offensive line. I like the way the offense is headed. I like that there's going to be a running quarterback. I think Murray's the lead running back there. And I think last year was a total non-fit. I don't think that that's the DeMarco Murray that exists now. And I think he can squeeze out a minimum of one more good year.
Okay. So Murray is, again, 18th running back off the board, DeMarco Murray. Then Jeremy Hill after him. Who do you guys like better, Hill or Murray?
I'm taking DeMarco.
I'm taking DeMarco for sure.
I'm taking Hill for sure.
I kind of feel like Jeremy Hill could be the steal of the draft.
I agree.
Or his teammate.
Look, I see where you're coming from with that. Giovanni Bernard is a talented player.
He's going, four rounds later?
He's going 80th overall, and Hill's going 47th overall. That's in standard.
Right, so it's round four and round seven.
Now, what's interesting about it, Heath, though, is that Jeremy Hill was bad last year. There's no question. And yet they still gave him the workload every single week, and I just wonder if Giovanni Bernard is capable of having a heavy workload because he missed three games.
Well, no, I don't think he's going to have a heavy workload. Neither one of these guys is going to have a heavy – I mean, even Jeremy Hill's 220 carries is not what we consider a heavy workload.
But it's good enough when he's the clear goal line guy because he got a ton of
– I just don't know if that's – how repeatable that is. Like, we don't expect just because they have a lot of goal line situations again this year. Maybe they will.
Yeah, I think they would. They should have a decent offense, good offense. All right. Well, anyway, we've spent time on Hill. Let's talk about some other guys. Round five running backs. Tell me who in this group you'd be looking at in round five. A lot of running backs off the board. Jonathan Stewart, Deion Lewis, Ryan Matthews, Jeremy Langford, and Matt Jones.
I'm looking at wide receivers.
Yeah.
Deion Lewis.
Maybe quarterbacks.
I think Deion Lewis is going to be good.
I hope so. I'm worried about another injury. I'm wondering where he's at coming back from the ACL. I loved the way that he ended up fitting into that offense last year.
I mean, if we're not drafting for another 2 weeks and Ryan Matthews is fine, then he's the guy I'm taking out of that group.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think for me,
and Matt Jones too.
Look, Jones and got Lewis a great would be the two.
Well, look, we made a case guys, for everyone.
these are the guys Except you're looking at when you go receiver. So you have to be comfortable. If you go receiver, and then you go running back, this is one of those guys that you put in to be in the mix as one of your starters. And if you're not comfortable with it, like Dave said, look at receiver, look at tight end, look at quarterback. Just move on from the position.
Yeah, there will be something when you pick again in round six.
These aren't great guys. And, you know, we've clearly made for and against for Jeremy Hill, for and against for DeMarco Murray. So take it back around before. It's ugly.
Yeah.
It's really not pretty. So,
but I'll tell you what, Murray and Hill to me, and Hyde too, put him in there. Way better than Jones, Deion, Deion Lewis, Matthew Stewart,
standard,
and all those other
Deion Lewis is gonna be better than PPR.
Yeah, that's fair. The injury risk might actually outweigh it, but I do think it makes him more appealing there.
Matt Jones is he good?
I don't think he is, but it doesn't, like we saw with Jeremy Hill last year. You can be bad, and if you get 220 carries, you're going to be worthwhile in fantasy.
Yeah, DeMarco Murray.
Ever since Keith Marshall got back on the field for Washington after his hamstring issue, the reports have been very positive about his ability to run in the zone blocking scheme. He can cut and take off. He's an injury risk waiting to happen.
Right.
Like, ridiculous.
But he's probably more talented than Matt Jones.
He is.
Yeah, that's the thing. Keith Marshall.
Like, I'm ready to say that he is.
Keith Marshall.
He's not physically, though.
Stud.
No, he's a little smaller.
He was a stud in college.
He's a lot smaller.
He was an injury guy. That's why
he's uniquely sized.
That's a way to put it.
So is Matt Jones, though.
All right.
Matt Jones's hands are uniquely sized, too, unfortunately.
Hey, I keep forgetting to say this, and I know it's off topic.
Oh, I love you, too, Adam.
Yeah, I love you, too. Lamar Miller had 227 carries in 12 games in his last year at Miami. It didn't they didn't baby him at all. They gave him plenty of work.
I'm amazed there's something about carries. Lamar Miller that you have not yet said.
Yeah, I know. I forgot to say that, but I'm not. He can do it. All right. So we have reached now first five rounds in a 12-team league, and we have reached 24 running backs. There's only one running back going in the next round. It's Melvin Gordon. He's going 68th overall. That's 11 picks after Matt Jones. but we can lump him in with this big next group, okay? 25 through 30. Melvin Gordon, Jay Ajayi, Duke Johnson, Arian Foster, Chris Ivory, and Amir Abdullah. Gordon, Ajayi, Johnson, Arian Foster, Duke Johnson, Foster, Chris Ivory, and Amir Abdullah. Discuss those guys.
I like Gordon the best.
Yeah, believe it or not, I do too. I'm not a Gordon guy. Not yet.
He's going to have a good year.
I don't know if he is. They're talking about using him on kick returns now. To me,
obviously they feel Neil's healthy.
They're open. He could fall down in front of someone.
Right, exactly. He can catch the kickoff, run 20 yards, and then fall as soon as he's touched. Look, I loved him coming out. I wanted to see him play well. I was stunned by what we ended up seeing last year.
You mean the offensive line that fell apart?
He fell apart too. Like he right, couldn't find the end zone. I can't pin it on the offensive line. You throw in the microfracture surgery and now I've got to see it to believe it. So just as an example, his first preseason game is what team does he play on again? Oh yeah. San Diego Saturday night at Tennessee.
Tune in.
If he plays, I'm going to pay close attention.
Yeah, but then you're running the risk of making too much out of the preseason. I mean,
I just want to see if he looks decent.
Yeah.
Show me something.
He looked decent in every practice I've watched him so far.
You've watched practice?
The videos that I've seen, absolutely.
Yeah, but look, Amir Abdullah looked great in the preseason last year.
That's a good point.
He's 30th running back.
But you want something to feel more comfortable with him with. You want to be able to see something that will make you feel more comfortable drafting him.
I think of that group. We just mentioned Amir Abdullah, but he is the one that I'd rather take him than Melvin Gordon.
I've got him close.
Yeah.
I'll deal with Chris Ivory and the lumps he's going to give me before I deal with Amir Abdullah, just because I think Ivory can score touchdowns.
Yeah. I'm not,
but I'm still taking Gordon because I think he's got that potential to score touchdowns too. I'm taking his partner in crime first. I'm taking Danny Woodhead first, non PPR. And PPR, obviously.
Ajayi. My whole argument with Ajayi has been, I don't really buy Arian Foster. I don't buy his health. I don't buy his performance. And I feel like, you know, Ajayi was going at a reasonable price before the signing. Now he's going after Arian Foster. And once Foster gets hurt, you got yourself a starting running back for the Dolphins. And
yeah,
you might
until
get him
in
the seventh round or eighth round.
Right, until he gets hurt. And we've referenced the story that I wrote about Arian Foster and all these rules that you have to have for drafting him. In that same story, I have one rule for drafting JJ. Wait till late round 7 or round 8 and just take him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, what have you seen that's made you think JJ is good?
Nothing.
Well, no. His first two games, he looked really good. And then he didn't really get that much work. So I don't know that he's good, but I'd rather take Jay Ajayi in round 7 or 8 than take Matt Jones in round 5.
Well, that's the argument, though. It's the unknown.
Right. And it's the opportunity that when Arian Foster is out, Jay Ajayi figures to have this great opportunity to dominate touches for the Dolphins and their up-tempo offense.
I just, I can't see even taking Jay Ajayi over Frank Gore.
No, I'm not doing that either.
Oh, God.
He's going well before him, right?
No, not well before him.
But that's the drafts that have happened before the Foster news.
Yeah.
Right. We were taking him ahead of Gore before
Foster
signed.
All the NFL drafts that are taking into account on Fantasy Pros and all that other stuff.
I'd rather take Abdullah. I'd rather take...
Me too.
Bernard. I'd rather take Frank Gore.
Would you rather take Foster?
I've got him one spot ahead of him. Yeah,
I've got Foster two spots ahead of him.
I would take Foster ahead of a draft.
I think the thing about it, Adam, is... The games you're going to get out of Foster, it's almost your Ryan Matthews argument here.
Right.
You could get 4 to 7 good games out of Arian Foster.
I don't know.
Are you sure he's even that guy?
That's the thing.
Has been that guy.
You
got to
look at what Adam Gaze's track record is.
He's
which
got
has
an
been
Achilles
very good
injury. And
it's the player in this case. Like, I totally buy into Gaze.
Yeah, but if look, so far everything says he's right.
What?
Right? You went to one practice that was their first practice in pads.
Right.
That's not a basis of argument that he's bad or not ready to go.
It's not like he shined in the practice. It's not like he sucked.
But he didn't
in the
have
practice.
To.
Right. He touched the ball 7 times.
Exactly.
He's practiced a bunch.
That's not the basis of saying good or bad.
I know.
Dudes, He averaged 2.6 yards per carry in four games last year.
Right, and he's still a very capable receiver out of the backfield. And who knows if this Dolphins offensive line is not better than what the Texans offensive line was last year.
He's coming off an Achilles injury.
And he was coming off of a groin injury last year.
Achilles injury, though. We always talk about how bad of an injury that is.
Okay, it's not but like again, he's coming off an Achilles injury and set out the first 3 weeks of camp.
And you're also talking about a guy that we're making it very clear from you being one slanted heavy one way for us kind of, I think, a little more balanced than this. Is that you're not drafting Arian Foster to be a guy that's going to sustain you for 16 weeks.
No.
You're drafting Arian Foster with the idea, at least the way I would tell people, the idea that if you get four plus good, if not great games out of him, he warrants taking being drafted round seven plus.
You know what I think a really good place for Arian Foster would be is if you draft Le'Veon Bell and then somebody thinks they're being cute and snipes D'Angelo Williams from you.
And then you start your
Foster
season
would
with Foster.
Be a great guy to start your season with.
Right. The problem is that their schedule is miserable to start the season. So you got to deal with that issue. And will they, I don't know, you know, how much do they work J.H.I. in? I think like,
I've got a guess.
This weekend, I want to see J.H.I. blow the doors off in whatever carries he has.
Mm-hmm.
Because that will make things a lot worse for Foster.
Right.
Missing time, missing preseason games. But he hasn't proven to be that guy yet because we haven't known. He hasn't proven not to be that guy. Like we said about, I don't forget what we're talking about, Ezekiel Elliott.
Okay. These year two running backs, Melvin Gordon, Duke Johnson, Amir Abdullah, who's got the best chance of breaking out?
Abdullah.
Gordon.
Next
I think
group.
Both do, though. I'm actually going to do a draft day dilemma on this whole thing and look at what second-year running backs that struggled in their second year, how they've done in their third year.
All right, next group of running backs.
Struggled in their first year, how they've done their second year.
Right.
After Abdullah, Giovanni Bernard, Frank Gore, D'Angelo Williams, Justin Forsett, Danny Woodhead, and T.J. Yeldon. Bernard, Gore.
The first two guys you said are steals.
Yeah, they should have been ahead of the guys we just talked about.
Oh my
Most
god!
Most of them, yeah.
All right, I'll be on the island here. There's no way Frank Gore is touching my team. 33 years old, he's not. He's done. He's.
But
absolutely
why not
done.
In this range? Take a chance.
I guess. Because I'd rather have Rashad Jennings.
What if it's round six? Do you take the chance?
God okay, no.
Wait, that's a little more realistic. Stop. Why are you taking a chance on Rashad Jennings at 31? In
workload.
A much more crowded situation.
No, it's not a more crowded situation.
It is a more crowded.
It's
situation.
It's a more crowded situation by default because Colts aren't crowded. But it's not that crowded of a situation. If Andre Williams is running as the number two running back, one of the worst running backs in football is their number two running back. Rashad Jennings is the starter for the Giants.
Do they not have a clear-cut third down back that catches passes out of the backfield that was fifth in catches last year out of the position?
Yeah. Oh, they absolutely
okay,
do.
Okay, so there's one guy.
Oh, Gore's going to be better in PPR than Jennings.
Absolutely.
Gore is old. He is beaten down. He is not good anymore. If you think DeMarco Murray is done... You don't think Frank Gore
again,
is done?
I'm not I take Frank. What round is Frank Gore going?
Like the seventh, the eighth.
Thank you. Okay, I'll take him over DeMarco Murray in the fourth round. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, but your argument is that DeMarco Murray is done. My argument is that Frank Gore is more done
My
than probably any running back
Murray
in football.
Is done in the fourth round. Yes, he's done as a fourth round pick. If I'm getting DeMarco Murray in the seventh round, I'll take that all day too.
Well, of course.
Who's going to do better this year between the two of them?
Between Murray and Gore?
Yeah,
Murray.
I'd be surprised if Murray was not better than Gore, but I'm not spending a fourth round pick on DeMarco Murray. I'm spending a seventh round pick on Frank Gore, and I think it's going to be close.
Do you think that's when you'll get him? Or do you think he's more, like, realistically, in our drafts and in other people's drafts, don't you think that the running backs will get pushed up a little bit higher?
I think the opposite. Nobody wants to draft Frank Gore.
Nobody wants to draft running backs.
Yeah.
You have to draft running backs. You need to start to.
They do have to. It's a rule.
It's a tough group here because you are putting a roster spot. Now, Gore is different, but Bernard, Danny Woodhead, T.J. Yeldon, these are not primary ball carriers. So
I don't buy that argument because Bernard and Danny Woodhead most weeks are going to produce running back two numbers.
But no. they're not primary ball carriers on their
not.
Team.
Their numbers historically don't suggest that. They have big weeks. They have big weeks.
Right. Right. They're
and then they have a lot of crappy weeks.
Guys that you
yeah.
start. And that's exactly what I think Frank Gore is now. I think Frank Gore is still capable of getting 100 yards and a touchdown, just as he did several times. I don't know about several times, but I'm looking at he had a 20-point game, two 15-point games, a 14-point game, and a 21-point game. Those are booms. Everything else was 9 points or less.
I mean, what do we
they
want
leave
him
you
for
crying?
Eight fantasy points is running back two.
Fine.
Right now, right?
Fine.
Danny Woodhead's doing that almost every week.
In standard leagues?
Nope. He was boom or bust in standard leagues.
Yeah, when he didn't score a touchdown.
Last year, he only averaged a tenth of a point more per game.
When Danny Woodhead is great, he is best guy on your team.
Right.
When Danny Woodhead is not great, you do not like him.
Right. We are in that category of boomer bust type of running backs.
Yeah, Danny Woodhead had a stretch of four games toward the stretch of the season, weeks 11 to 14, with a combined 6 fantasy points in standard scoring leagues. Then he scored 30 the next week.
Right.
Against the Dolphins.
I guess he was consistent early in the season. He was bad in the middle and had one good game late.
That's fair.
Technically, he had two good games late.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. All right. So we're, kind of running out of time. We can, of course, finish this tomorrow. We've got, we got Yeldon. We got Rashad Jennings, Derrick Henry, Carlos Williams. LeGarrette Blount.
On your point on Rashad Jennings, I think where you're getting Jennings is great too.
Yeah.
Yes.
Agreed.
Ninth
I
round.
I feel like I've got him too low. And you guys will fight with me because you guys love Gio and Amir Abdullah, but I think Rashad Jennings.
Oh, you can make the argument. I don't think it's a bad argument.
And I think he's another guy where if you draft Le'Veon Bell and you're looking and you miss out on D'Angelo and you don't want to risk it with Arian Foster, I think Rashad Jennings is the perfect running back.
I agree. I don't think he's a 16 game guy. I don't think Frank Gore is a 16 game guy.
Yeah. Now, who are some late round picks that you guys like to put on your teams?
Like guys we haven't. So after round 9,
it could be someone that we just mentioned.
I would say Blount and Sims both going in the 10th round.
I can't believe
they're really going that late. Sims is going that late.
We just had to send notes for our videos, and I don't like calling anybody a sleeper that's being drafted in the first 100 picks. So I was just looking because I pulled up the same list you're looking at Adam and average draft position on Fantasy Pros, and I'm scrolling down past pick 100, and I see Charles Sims at 116.
That's the sleeper.
Behind Derrick Henry, behind Carlos Williams, behind Rashad Jennings. Oh, no, that's fine. Behind Justin Forsett. But it shocked me.
Because Sims is a rare kind of guy that's got really decent flex potential if Doug Martin's okay. And then if Doug Martin gets hurt, he may become a top 10 running back.
Well, I thought, Adam, you made a great comparison to Heath about Jeremy Hill and Doug Martin, because I almost think that Charles Sims is like Giovanni Bernard in that he's the pass catcher.
Right.
He's a guy that, he's one of the few running backs that had 500 rushing yards and 500 receiving yards last year. If he had scored one or two more rushing touchdowns, he was a top 24 running back in standard leagues last year. He would have been closer to 15 because he had 4 receiving touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's like a fair backfield comparison in that you have the guy that's going to get up more carries. One guy's going to get more catches. So yeah, Sims to me is a steal. DeAndre Washington, Jordan Howard, I think are two rookies that are going to get a lot of work, or at least good opportunities to get a lot of work. Jordan Howard, to me, is one of my favorite guys in standard leagues where he's going because of Jeremy Langford not being very good.
You know I'm a Kenneth Dixon guy. Love his skill set. I don't think he's going to be the starter to begin the year, so you have to be patient with him. Maybe somebody you pick up off waivers if you don't draft him, but I like him. I'm still taking guys like Devontae Booker and Derrick Henry ahead of Kenneth Dixon. Josh Ferguson, Keith Marshall are definitely guys that I'm looking at late.
Devontae Booker. I still think Wendell Smallwood just because of Ryan
Matthews. I do too. I know he's banged up right now. Darren Sproles is another one. I don't want to draft him and like hope to start him or anything like that. But if Ryan Matthews goes down, he's going to play a lot.
I don't think he'll play more than he would if Matthews is healthy.
It depends on Smallwood and how good he is.
Yeah, I just don't see. I mean, he's not going to be a guy that they feed the ball to. He's still going to be a special
team. He might catch a ton of passes.
Good.
I mean, and that might be the case even if Ryan Matthews is healthy.
They're talking about 3 tight end sets consistently there because of Jordan Matthews being banged up and Aguilar and Ruben Randall obviously being who they are and Trey Burton playing at the level that he's been playing at in practice. So they're talking about going with Ertz, Celek, and Burton in a ton of offensive sets, which could help their running game.
I like drafting Bilal Powell because I just don't believe in Forte.
Sure.
Yeah, and he goes really late.
Do we say Devontae Booker?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's say it again, though.
Devontae Booker.
Yeah.
Devontae Booker.
Lots of positive reports in camp on him. Might be the rare rookie who's good at pass protection.
Yeah, so what's interesting, though, about Booker is that he's going 144th, and that's just not going to happen. So if you draft C.J. Anderson, what round do you think you have to take Devontae Booker?
9.
Yep.
Yeah, if you really want to make sure you get him, I think he'll probably be there in 10th a lot.
That's 9th in a 12-team
If he beats out
league.
Ronnie Hillman, which we all expect to happen, but look, Ronnie Hillman's like the cockroach that never goes away. He just continues to hang around, and he plays a role.
Yeah, what a flattering nickname.
I'm sure he loves it.
I'm telling you, draft Jerick McKinnon, just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case.
So we have a lot of emails from our listeners and tweets, and we'll save them for tomorrow. We'll recap some preseason stuff, try not to make too much of it. No injuries tonight, people, okay? No injuries. That's what we want. And some good storylines for tomorrow's show. But we'll finish up with running backs for tomorrow. We got some really good emails to read. And, yeah, looking forward to it. Enjoy football, everybody. Dave, Jamie, Heath, thank you very much. This is Fantasy Football Today.
Bye.
See ya.